Hello, 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 everyone. Warmly welcome to the Wildly Abundant Woman podcast with your host, Leonie Gabriella. I am super mega excited today because I am talking with a super handsome man. His name is Giulio Danna, and he is a healing, I was going to say therapist, but I think he once told me to say artist, who does incredible work, helps people really heal things that are stuck in your body and that are influencing your life experience, that are influencing your mind, and create real freedom for yourself. And he does that in the most wholesome way I've seen, honestly, so far. Works with somatic healing, works with myofascial release things, works with all sorts of massage techniques that I don't even know the name of. And I have had the pleasure of working with Giulio a couple of times, and I've recommended actually quite some of my friends and clients to you. And yeah, ladies, I'm just really excited to have him on today and to be talking about all the things that I have learned through working with him and what you can potentially learn from this conversation as well, because there's a lot of juicy stuff we're going to be talking about. So Giulio, thank you so much for being here today.
Wow, what a great introduction. I hope I can live up to the standard you set.
Well, honestly, I felt like that I was like, because I should have maybe written something down, but this was just like purely from my head. Is there anything I've missed? Anything you want to add to who you are, what you're doing, your passion?
Well, I'm an Italian man living in the Netherlands since 20 years about, and my background is in alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to the Netherlands, I went into a university for choreography, which
is choreography, right?
Dance and choreography.
Yeah.
But it's a very special school because it allows the students to bring further their own research. It's not a school that's set what you have to study. Mm-hmm. You can create your own research. Mm-hmm. And my research during the school and further for the 15 years of choreography career was how to use therapeutic elements to create art.
Mm.
Because a lot of the somatic practices and more psychological, physiological knowledge dive into that sort of darker humanity that I was very interested in. And when you start to unravel it, then it becomes artistic material.
Mm. So this is really actually about, if I'm hearing correctly, it sounds also a lot like transforming challenging things we might be experiencing in our lives and then expressing that through, in this case, art. That's kind of how you started. I'm just thinking also because you have this picture of Parkinson behind you. Is that correct to say that?
Definitely. My mantra, it's almost like accurate to my mantra that for those time of years work creating these works, it was my motto, mantra was how to transform pain into love. And by love, I meant something that would be dynamic, that would create, generate, rather than closing up and holding back.
I love that. I love that. That makes so much sense. And I love how we're getting like more clarity on the kind of work you're actually doing, because I mean, I felt very drawn to you and your work, and it's helped me so much. But when you describe it like this, from pain to love, and doing that through opening and transforming rather than closing up. So it's really also the element of feeling and healing rather than, yeah, something else. Okay, so you started as a choreographer, then tell me what happened after. You've done like approximately every training that you can do, it seems, around healing.
Well, I've done some, but there are much more out there. Some I will do, some I just want to also go deeper in what I have. So, and in the last years, I kind of reversed the question that I had, how can therapeutic elements could help me create art? And I went upside down and say, how a therapeutic process could be artistic. And by artistic is welcoming a non-linear process. Because at the time I was studying alternative medicine, naturopathy, although using based on traditional Chinese medicine and based on alternative or organic ways, it still, for me, followed a bit this hierarchy of thinking, finding a solution. 1 + 1 = 2. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but in my life, it's almost never like that. Mm-hmm. Like when I have a complaint, if it is emotional or physical, the process is much more three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. It has to do both with my emotion, with my intellect, and also with what I call the hardware of life, my diet, my exercise, my living space. Mm-hmm. But everything goes together. It's almost never the experience that by changing one element, my symptom will disappear. So yeah. For that unfolding, it requires that space that it's very similar to creative process, very similar to the process of an artist, where you have to welcome everything and sense into it what is relevant in this moment. So I consider every client a new little artistic project.
I love that. I had no idea that I was one of your artistic projects, but I love it.
But I think I'm saying it to somebody for the first time. Like, some of the things feels very intimate. It's like, okay,
yeah,
will people like it that they consider artistic project? But yeah, that's my approach.
You know, I deeply appreciate it. And there's a couple of things that you mentioned here that I really love and I want to speak upon, because there's a few words you said. You said artistic, nonlinear, organic. What I wrote down also is non-logical. And I wrote down feeling. And what you share just really resonates with me, for the fact that the time when I reached out to you, I don't remember exactly when our first session was, to be honest. I think it might have been like, it might have already been in 2021, even in like the winter of 2021. I don't remember that. Oh. But I remember I came to you because I had logically done everything I could to feel good. I thought I had done the work. There was just an element missing, which was truly meeting myself, meeting some feelings that were stuck in my body and had been since I was a child, that I just hadn't really looked at and I hadn't fully acknowledged. So that brings me actually to, I wanted to share with the listeners, like, why I reached out to you. And it was really that reason. I felt super stuck in my life. I felt, you know, and rationally, everything made sense. I was making good money. Things were flowing, but I was super unhappy. I felt really unsafe within myself. And I just knew there was something else that I needed. And I remember reading something from someone I was following online. I was really inspired by her. And she said that one of the key things really helped her was somatic release. So somatically experiencing feelings in your body to release them. So I literally Googled somatic healing Amsterdam, and you came up at the top with pure 5-star reviews, because everyone loves working with you, obviously. And then we had our session, and I remember, yeah, what really came out of it for me was not trying to figure out everything so logically, or trying to heal or fix myself still from the mind, but very much going with what wanted to be shared in my body. I think you even said that to me at that time. I think you said, I don't believe like you are a mind and you have a body. I think your body is you. You are your body. So your body is the expression of all the things you're feeling and experiencing. And yeah, so that this all makes total sense to me. So I love being your artistic project.
You have touched something very, very essential, like the fact that, like, that is at the base of somatic work is like the ability or the skill that is about dropping into the reality of who we are, which is like an energy system. I mean, like science says it, like when you zoom in my hand, yeah, there is skin and bones and muscle, and then you zoom in the skin, and there are these cells that are organized and zoom in and zoom in and zoom in till atomic level. It's just energy. You don't find anything in there. So our bodies are energy system. Even our mind, that we think, okay, there's the mind and body, which is totally understandable, but everything is an energy body. But the mind is
a manifestation of our energy body, and our heart is another type of intelligence. And so when we really like digest this notion, then the body is not anymore a dichotomy of mind fighting against thought of feelings.
Yeah.
It's all an ensemble of energy, and some they are probably more dominant and other are dormant.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes so much sense. I love that. And that's really also what I needed to learn and what I needed to embrace. I needed to, you know, because I was honestly trying to control everything with my mind, which is impossible. And so for me, it was learning about being with what I was feeling, but also doing that without, yeah, really also being able to actually feel. Because I remember I had my first sessions with you and I would just feel often very unsafe within myself, very scared. And I really feel like through my sessions with you, I've learned. I remember we once did a session where I was going through quite some intense sensations and feelings of anger and tightness that I was feeling in my back. And I felt so much fear to go into that. And you held me, you held my hand, and you said, "You're not a victim." And you can actually, you know, I've really felt like I learned to hold space for myself in that experience through the session with you, which was really amazing.
It's beautiful. And if I called back the first time I met you, and like your face expression almost changed, and you now even look younger than what I remember. And yeah.
Thank you.
Dropping into the somatic state, being able to access this sensation, while at the beginning it could be challenging because a lot of things are often like compressed in. But after a while, it's just a joy. It's just like vital energy that is making us younger and happier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very true. And I, you know, I feel different. I feel like a different person. I hear this from my friends also. Say, you seem so much more dropped in, so much more relaxed. And, you know, I'll be honest, I have changed quite some things in my life as well. I've ended an 8-year-long relationship. I've changed some things in my business. But mostly, it's like I've been able to relax. Yeah, so a lot has actually changed in my life. I am a different person. And also, I have really started implementing one of the key things that you told me in our last session, which is the element of pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I it was so fascinating because I was, you know, I am a very big creator and big dreamer and up to beautiful things and excited to influence a lot of women to live my dharma and my passion. And that's also why I came to you originally, because I really felt like there was so much I wanted to share, but there was also such a stuckness I could feel around it. I remember telling you, like, I feel like I can't hold the bigness of this vision. I feel like I can't energetically hold my desires. And I can just really sense how there's been such a gigantic shift in the way, in what I think I need to be able to do that, because I was convinced that I needed to work really hard, be in the perfect mindset all the time, you know, have the right strategy. But you told me something that really brought me home. You said, what if the recipe is to add in a lot more pleasure? And to add in a lot more pleasure, not as something you put on your fucking to-do list, but actually something to experience in this now moment. And it took me a little time, because I think you already told me this in January or February, and we're now in the end of March. And I've now actually started a conscious pleasure practice, a self-pleasure practice. Been self-pleasuring every morning, which is amazing.
That's how you look radiant and juicy.
Yes, I know. It just like, I could feel my whole energy just being super mega alive and yummy. So I'm curious to hear, I'd love to hear you speak about the power of pleasure and what that means to you and what that means also connected to your work.
Well, in my personal experience, pleasure as, and by the way, I wasn't always like that. I was coming from a mindset of, I'm going to work hard and pleasure is going to be my reward.
Yeah.
But there's never really end to work, because once you do something, you want to do the next and the next. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't really ever surrender enough to receive the gift of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And at such a moment, I was questioning it in my life. And it was the plant medicine that I use that really showed me that I needed to work with pleasure. And first of all, pleasure, in order to feel pleasure, you have to be in the here and now, because what is pleasurable in this moment, it might not be in 2 hours. What is pleasurable with a person, it might be not with another. So pleasure can only exist by sensing into the honesty of the moment and through your body, not just intellectual, the pleasure that really nurtures you and supports you. Is a body sensation. It's an erotic, whether it's sexual or just food or tactile, it's nevertheless an erotic sensation. It's the feeling of aliveness in the body and opening into it. And pleasure, it's the ultimate resource. I mean, like, of course, we know a lot of information about how to take care of ourselves. So we do that kind of training, we follow that kind of diet. But like allowing us to really take in real pleasure, and most of the time, real pleasure is never really toxifying the body. When you really open into the real pleasure, the body tells you what to do, and it's not going to bring you into abuse of alcohol and drugs. It's going to bring you to things that really support you, that makes you grow. So it becomes a wonderful resource that reset our nervous system. Nervous system that we often overstimulate and overtax by all this to do. When we have that sense of rest, the sense of base, then everything seems much more doable. And there is more in the hard work, there's even more pleasure, because there's a sense of agency, there's a sense of I can do it. I'm resourced.
That's so true.
Pleasure, it like what I'm trying to practice is almost to like subvert what I used to do, like first work and then pleasure. And I'm like, wait. Let me start my day with me practice, with something that fills me in. And then I'm going to dive in. Let me first charge my battery so that I can give my energy to the world and not working from a place of I have to earn my pleasure. I want to work from a place of I'm worth enough.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's also, I feel like when we don't actually give ourselves that true pleasure, which really, as you say it, it's like, it's also very much a surrendering into the moment. I remember you told me that, like, start adding pleasure, not as something on your to-do list, but actually like, being here now. I loved how you said that pleasure is a here now physical body experience. It cannot be anywhere else. True pleasure, truly. And again, when done, of course, from this state of opening and relaxing, instead of we don't want to do it, from a state of closing, because if we close and we don't actually want to feel, then we're numbing, and then we chase pleasure in quotation marks because we think that's going to give us something, but really it's taking us out of the moment,
exactly,
which is not true pleasure. And I can
also by practicing pleasure, what is a byproduct that I notice in me and also in my clients. Then the boundary system becomes much more clear.
Boundaries.
Yes. Because like we understand a lot of boundaries by the no, right? Oh, this is my limit. You have crossed my line. This, a lot of the term boundary comes up with when our territory is crossed.
Yeah.
But a no, it's the same thing as a yes. It's an information coming from the inside of your body. I want this or I don't want this. It's like information from your body. When you get really good at feeling the yes, the desire, you have such a more clarity in the no. Everything becomes like clear. And then it's out of that clarity, it's so much easier to take the right decision.
Yeah.
Instead of going into a mental process. When the body says no, it's a no.
Yeah.
And to practice boundaries, not from a mental place, but from cultivating pleasure, cultivating desire, is such a great gift.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, honestly, it's been like the key lesson that I've learned for myself last year, also when I ended my 8-year-long relationship, because rationally, it didn't make sense to me yet. I didn't understand yet why, but my body wanted to leave. And my body had already wanted to leave since a year. I could literally feel the urge to go. So my core lesson of last year was to follow my gut feeling no matter what, even if it does not yet make rational sense, to follow what my body desires. And it's also interesting about the part of filling myself up with pleasure, because when I do that, like right now I'm dating, and I feel so much less needy because I'm fulfilled myself. I feel energetically alive. I feel like this yumminess. And then if I, feel a connection with someone, I can enjoy that and explore that. But it's no longer from this, I must have this or something from you. And I see that not only with men, but also if I'm not giving myself true pleasure and not really taking care of my own needs in that sense, I start to look for it in distractions, in destructions, honestly, things that don't really fill me up or make me happy. So it's such an important part for me. And I'm so grateful that you really urged me to be looking at that more.
Beautiful. And it's also,
I can see it
everywhere in your way you talk and the juiciness in your body.
it's been... It's been amazing. One of the other things I've really enjoyed, and I try to do it in the morning as well, and this has also been inspired by something you said, because I remember I came to our sessions and I found it so hard to hold space for myself and to feel things. And one of the things I've been practicing actually is mirror work. So I've been literally talking to myself and holding space for my inner little girl as I do my pleasure practice in the morning. So I'm learning how to be able to hold space for myself, because at first, I felt like I just couldn't, because I was too scared to go there alone. And I think that's also something you told me to learn how to hold space for yourself and dip in, but not lose yourself into maybe traumatic experiences or stuff like that.
A lot of our ability to go through negative experience is by measuring our ability to hold ourselves in that experience. And there's a lot of practices like mirror practice, affirmation practice, holding practice, or somatic practices where is the practitioner that is imprinting the body with a sense of safety and a sense of awareness that shifts from this is everything I have, this is my pain and it's here.
Yeah.
This is the pain, it doesn't change. It doesn't become any less, but I'm also aware that I'm not only pain. I'm also beauty, and I'm also strength, and I'm also the potential of the future. And I'm also, by sensing in the body, because our mind often knows.
Yeah.
But when we sense that in the body, this pain starts to float around a much bigger room. And our ability to relate to it is like, okay, there is this object inside this larger room.
Yeah, instead of completely losing ourselves in it. So it's honestly about also imprinting a sense of safety in your body. It's about, I would say, almost like creating a bit of space between yourself and the memory or the fear or the association.
Safety is fundamental. And do you know what safety does? It creates a level of relaxation and openness.
Mm-hmm.
The concept that we say at the beginning, this process of transforming pain into love.
Yeah.
What the plant medicine taught me is like pain itself is love. That's not anything is love.
Yeah.
It's your relation to it.
Yeah.
So during my session, sometimes I can coach the clients to come to a pain release that feels orgasmic. Can you imagine?
I love it. I want to hear more about this.
Because once you completely surrender and then you follow just what the energy that's being held inside your body, where he wants to go, what he wants from you, the pain is not less, but there is a sort of pleasure in expressing it, because it's nevertheless a life experience, an alive experience. There is an eroticness into the crying, into the screaming, into that this is this beauty of like allowing the body to take what it needs. Yeah.
So the pleasure is in allowing.
In opening and allowing, surrendering.
That's...
And this is where often we find that the mind seems to be dichotomic because the mind wants to hold, wants to understand.
What do you mean with that? Dichotomic? What does that mean?
Like it's like opposite.
Yeah.
Like this dualistic sensation that the surrendering is opposite to the mind.
Yeah.
But the more we make this kind of experience, the more we can inform the mind to trust the process, and we also relax into it.
Yeah, I love this. And I can see how this is something that for me, like I'm just trying to relate it to something that I'm experiencing now while dating. I can sometimes feel a lot of things or have like anxiety come through or all sorts of thoughts and feelings. And it's not necessarily about then looking at what would happen with one specific person. It's really about allowing myself to feel and experience. And this is what I try to do also in my morning practice, the self-pleasure practice. Yeah, I cry almost every day.
Yeah.
And that feels really good. And it feels like then my energy can actually flow through my body, which then creates more space and openness to go throughout the day in a happy way.
When we're really giving into that cry that was needed and all of a sudden floods out, that sense of peace, a sense of like rest that is there after the rain, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just want to hold ourselves from the process of crying. We kind of have this idea that if we behave right enough, if we do the right thing, we will save ourselves from the pain, from the tears, while the most efficient way is to go through it with pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be scary. Yeah. And mostly also because of the stories we tell ourselves about it in our mind. And it can also just feel really scary because we haven't learned how to experience that sense of safety in our body. And that's why working with you really helped me, because I was able to go there with you being there. And to feel safe.
Somatic body work, because there are different types of somatic work. Some are only verbally based. But somatic body work has the advantage that not only is addressing the sensations of the body, but also literally the touch can imprint and inform the moment. The fact that your own emotion is witnessed and can be even mirrored by the practitioner. The fact that the touch can really offer a literal, I am here with you in this moment, to re-imprint your nervous system with this information, to actually discover this sense of holding. Because that sensation is the same that you have when you hold yourself. You don't need all the time others. It's
no.
A sensation that you need to imprint in your nervous system.
Yeah, but that takes time and practice. Honestly, Julio, if I'm honest with you, I honestly feel like only since like a week, I know how to do that. Like how to truly be able to hold space for myself and how to meet my own need in that sense and to how to truly soothe myself. And I think it's also because we live in a society where we're taught to push things away. We're taught to constantly distract ourselves. We're so like in our mind that we're constantly looking for solutions also outside of ourselves. And so for me, it's only been honestly since I've been doing this practice now very consistently since, well, maybe 2 weeks of the self-pleasure practice, and which is really the allowing practice and the mirroring practice and the holding, that I'm like, oh, I feel like I can really be there for myself and take care of myself. But that's new, you know?
And the piece here is that there's no way that the practice that you're having will stay, because like pleasure changes in time.
Mm-hmm.
So what it would be really good is to allow the form of the practice to change together with the needs. And in that, and that way, you will never lose that sense of ability to hold yourself. Which means that sometimes it might be the periods, holding yourself would be allowing yourself to sleep 1 hour more. And other times it would be to wake up at 5 to do a Vipassana. Mm-hmm. Like it will be really a clear call. And by sensing into that, the body will bring exactly where you need to feel nourished, to feel supported.
Yeah. So the body knows.
Yeah.
And I do feel like it's important here also that, because I can sometimes when I do that, but I'm still using it in order to fix how I feel, it's not actually really giving me the benefit. So for me, I've tried to really like add in like the allowing of like how my body feels. And then from that state, okay, see if there's a decision I want to make. But I also notice my mind can also play tricky games with me sometimes around this. And it's a, you know what I mean? Like it feels like there's different ways of doing it, because I could still be doing it in order to fix myself.
Yes, and that would just like make the process much longer and not necessarily efficient.
Yeah.
Here, what I see for myself and what I feel I'm coaching most of the client to do is this ability to surrender to what is there no matter what. And if I have the goal of fixing something and I want to go into that specific direction while there is an energy here that needs my attention now, mm-hmm. I'm just going to be either frustrated mm-hmm. or delay the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the most direct way, because what I learned during one of the somatic practice I learned is called integrative gestalt coaching.
Yes.
Doing that, it was like really for me, one of the notions that was for me radically new
mm-hmm.
is that the body is never self-destructive. We have this notion, oh, my body doesn't work. My body is broken. What if you start to look at anything, any type of disease or emotional disorder or challenge as a program that the body is doing because it believes that holding some energy is good? What if we start to move from a place that, what if my body doesn't know how to get there? Or it's not safe enough to get there. I don't give time enough or listening enough to get there, but it's never broken. It's always acting out of my pure interest.
With the best of its knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is something that profoundly changed the perception of my own body, but also how I deal with clients. I often say to clients, like, you're not broken. You might feel broken or you're not. Your energy are just like probably tangled up. Let's untangle them.
I love that. That's also relevant for me because there's so much healing I feel like I've been going through in the last few months. Also, thanks to my sessions with you. And there's some things I'm still bumping into in regards to my health, some things I've been challenged with since like quite some time. And there's still, yeah, some element of feeling like there's something wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And well,
that could be indeed something that you experience as not sustainable, something sure. that you don't like.
Yeah.
But the key here is that like looking at that thing and instead of saying, I don't want this, I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
If you start to look at it as like as a manifestation of your own energy and the body is not trying to betray you, so it's actually trying to communicate something. So instead of entering a modality of fixing it and allowing to really sit with it and sit with the sensation and understand and create such an intimate relation that this wall that I don't want you in my life disappears, this information usually starts to really inform us into the next step to do, bring us into a sustainable way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You're not broken.
You're not broken.
No, your body knows what to do also.
Sometimes not. Sometimes yeah. not. I have clients where they, unfortunately, as very young children, they had the experience of parents that they were not offering safety
yeah.
or they were not offering You know, like sometimes a parent doesn't need necessarily to be violent or abusive to create trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes by not meeting the needs yes. of the child,
yes,
it's actually it's a very strong trauma, because basically what is happening is that the child needs whatever that is not seen and not met.
Mm.
So actually, it's almost like I am obscuring part of you.
Mm.
And then you grow up without that imprint. With like if you're never touched, you're probably going to be an adult that has difficulty with intimacy, or go on the other side of being in some sort of like a
sex
dependency or
yeah
abuse of
yeah,
because your nervous system doesn't have that sort of the sensation of being held, of being safe. So yeah, this is something to follow up. Like sometimes the body doesn't know. The body needs to be imprinted with a new experience in order to get there.
What do you suggest people do in that case?
Well, first of all, is to, like, I think the big work is to understand what is there missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then find the right person that can imprint that. Sometimes you can even do it on your own when there is absolutely clarity. But most of the time, our nervous system reacts really well when somebody imprints.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of beautiful people like that do somatic work and that help create a sense of safety, a sense of being seen.
Yeah.
All these needs are really primal, and that can kind of condition our life as adults in a very sneaky way, because they don't appear like, oh, I have a problem with not being seen.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like you're not aware of that. This is like, because you don't even know that you haven't been seen. How can you know snow when you haven't even seen it and never touched it? You don't know it.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true. So I'm curious. There's a few things I want to ask you. Also feel like sharing this here, talking with you about this, because some women might be interested and they might want to work with you, which I would love for them to do. And I'll share Giulio's information at the end. Also, like, it can be tricky to find the right person to work with, because there are unfortunately also some body workers that are not necessarily truly safe. So I'm curious if you have any suggestions on what people can do to find a body worker that they really feel safe with and resonate with. For anyone listening, Giulio is amazing. Like, Giulio, I feel so safe with you. Like, truly, I'm super comfortable. I'm naked sometimes in our sessions because I'm really comfortable doing that. I wouldn't have to be, but, and for me, what helped was seeing your reviews. You had really good reviews where people talk about their experience with you. Is there anything you suggest? What's important when you're going to consider working with someone?
You know, it's always difficult to kind of sense into the intention of somebody else.
Yeah.
But like something that helps me when I need, because I also need body work.
Yes.
Whenever in a new city, I'm looking for, you know, also like people that could inspire me to grow on.
Yeah.
I look at their studies, first of all. It's like when people engage lots of money and time in complex studies of somatic work and trauma release. Mm-hmm. Often they are not going to risk the reputation in acting inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, whenever in doubt, a decent practitioner therapist will always be open to a degree of an open free call just mm-hmm. to check in.
Yeah.
Especially when working with somatic body work or like any type of work that wants to allow foster really sort of an unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't name nobody that I ever met that wouldn't be not willing to spend 10, 15 minutes with a new client and say, hey, let's have a phone call or a little meetup and sensing to that.
Yeah, I like that.
Also, like something that is really important is that like energetically, we are not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I am not necessarily that quick and fast and amazing with all the clients I have.
But you still have 5 stars on average on Google, so you're doing something right.
What I'm saying is that sometimes the presence of the person, it can be the right medicine. And this is not something like to have a man touching you, to have a woman touching you is a completely different. And they both could move out of the same knowledge and same highest intention.
Sure.
Yet one could open you up and the other one not.
Yeah. That's also trusting your gut feeling about who you align with. It's the same as with coaches. Like you don't, like I'm a coach. There's lots of different business coaches out there. Different people resonate with different people. And it's also about trusting your gut feeling with that. And what I think is also really important, and I do also feel like I learned some of that through one of our first sessions together, is to actually trust yourself more than you trust the practitioner, which, because sometimes we can make ourselves so vulnerable in a situation. And yes, it is true that we want to be with someone we truly trust. But for me, something I used to do in the past is I would give up my own agency with someone when ultimately I am still responsible for myself and for my safety, and also to trust what feels right and what doesn't. I don't know. I'm curious how you think about this.
Well, your body is always closer to your relative truth than your mind is. And if the mind says, I don't know much about what my body needs, I'm going to give myself in the hands of this therapist, while your body is like feeling, this doesn't feel not okay, whether it's inappropriate or just not okay, your body is closer to your truth than your mind is.
Yeah.
And any good somatic worker will create always the space to check in and to allow the body to unfold in any way. You know, sometimes I even say to clients, it is possible that for any reason you start to feel frustrated with me, but that could be part of your energy release, and please share it. Please, I'm here to receive and deal also with this energy. This, I think, that's also part of the trust, by welcoming anything, even if it's like, hey, no, I don't like this. Yes, you're welcome to say that. Please.
Yeah. I love that. That requires you as a practitioner to also be solid in your own energy, to trust yourself and not take that on from someone else, from a client, as to see it as a projection also.
Yes, I think like it's very important to act out of your best intention all the time. Because, you know, like we somatic practitioner therapists, we are also like, some days you are full of energy, others you are dealing with less energy. We also have a life that, and our own processes. And sometimes I see that entering the scene, it's like, all right. But in the moment that you act out of your best intention with whatever it is available to you at the moment, and you place yourself in a place of listening rather than doing, you're creating basic conditions for trust to appear.
Yeah.
It's like the connection that happens between the client and the practitioner is very tantric energetically. And like my work is not sexual, but like in that sense, like in order to have good sex, you don't have always to be at the highest level of your performance, of your energy. Sometimes even if you're tired, you're soft enough, and still the relation will be great and amazing. But following what is there and using it to be the highest and purest intention.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that. And just to clarify for anyone listening, when you say tantric, that doesn't necessarily mean sexual. It just means about being very much present in the moment and working with shows up.
Connecting the energy, like how it's not only, I don't sit in front of my client and informing my client with my knowledge, and sensing him. So that's like what is tantric. It's not in the sexual practice, which I don't do. It's more about allowing the energy of the person to really inform me so that I can feed back, and this becomes a sort of an ongoing circle.
Yeah, deeper listening, feeling also. It's something that I'm learning myself also as a coach, to work even more with people's energy. Super powerful, very interesting. I have two questions for you. first one is, let me see which one I want to ask first. Okay. So some of the women I work with, some of the women that are listening to the Wildly Abundant Woman podcast, beautiful women up to amazing things, might feel stuck in certain areas of their life, might feel unconfident, might feel insecure, might honestly be dealing with some of the same things that I came to you with. How would you suggest someone goes about, you know, feeling a sense of stuckness within themselves, feeling insecure? What would you say? What would your first advice for people like that be? Aside from obviously booking a session with you, which I highly recommend for everybody. Not kidding.
One of the thing that usually make things very clear is to take a space of emptiness. If we enter in a 1 hour, 1 day of emptiness, often things come to surface. So instead of trying to understand what's going on, to give ourselves the space to sense and allow what it needs to come up to come up. So this would be my first suggestion to give yourself the space, trusting that your body really has a lot of things and knowledge to tell you.
How would you do that? How do you create a space of emptiness?
Well, remove yourself from your daily routine. You are working and then you have a relationship and then you have deadlines to literally create 1 hour, few hours, depending on the situation or what is needed, but like to remove yourself and put yourself in a space of emptiness. I'm not saying to go on a spa for half a day. This is not emptiness. This is distraction. It can be nice, but
I was just thinking about going to a spa as you said it. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong to go to a spa. I go once a month and I love it. But when, because like the question is like, okay, if you are feeling stuck and you don't know what to do, my question is like, put yourself in an empty space and see what happens. Are you starting to become restless? Is your mind all of a sudden storming? Are emotion bubbling up? In that sort of decompression, something will happen. And that something is what you have to take care of. If in that decompression, you realize, fuck, my mind is like spinning. Right. Find yourself a meditation coach. If like you see, like there's the emotion, your body feels like, find yourself a somatic practitioner. Like there could be different things, but I believe that often we have much more access to much more information than what we want to believe.
Yeah, this is a fascinating one. I think I can do this more often. I think also with our phones, it's really easy to never have moments of nothingness. Moments of also just of, gosh, how do you say this in English? In Dutch, you say moments to digest. To just sit and digest life. And I do, even when before I go to bed, sleep in the room next door. And then I just to sit here for a few minutes and just be transformational, even on its own, without necessarily anything needing to happen from that, but to have a moment of just being, and also like to start seeing my meditation as just being. Cause I'll be honest, I had an agenda with meditating. The agenda was to feel good. And now my agenda with meditating is to just be present with myself exactly as I am.
But I think most of the people start with an agenda, realizing that then the practice transforms because they discover more than what meditation is really about.
Yeah. Super fascinating. Super fascinating. Love this. Really great advice. Wait, there's one more question I could ask, but no, I think for me, this feels good. I feel quite happy with our conversation so far. I'm curious if there's anything else you want to talk about or want to ask or share. Otherwise, I'm going to tell people where they can find you and how to book a session with you.
Let me sense into that. I just want to say, to invite people that are interested, that feel they want to develop themselves to ask for the help, not necessarily to me, but to dare and ask for Because there are also a lot of beautiful people out there with talents, coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the act of asking for help and being guided is something that I don't know about you, but like I was brought up with the sense of you have to make it on your own.
Totally.
And rather buy a book and start it. But especially when it comes to really learning, the imprint and the vibration of the presence of another person that has already gone through the process and embodied that can be such an effective place. It's not the information. You learn from the exposition to the vibration of the practitioner, of the teacher.
This is so true. Yeah.
So like what I want to invite people is to ask for help, because for a long time I felt like in the past I didn't. I had to learn as well.
Same.
And that was such a great, wonderful relief. I didn't become weaker. I become stronger by knowing exactly who I need when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love this. This is one of the things you have taught me as well around meeting my own needs and also being able to meet my needs sometimes through other people and not needing to do everything on my own. And interestingly enough, by getting support, I feel more comfortable doing things on my own. And I'm capable now, like I feel so much better at holding space for myself, which feels really amazing. But yeah, meeting my needs, getting support, because, well, things can move so much faster when we do that. Yeah, and I feel really grateful. I'm just really excited for the work that you do, also for how well trained and how informed you are in the different. Like you've studied like everywhere. Like you went to SLN. Like you've done approximately everything. All these amazing trainings, and I just feel really grateful for the work you do and for the support you give people in true healing. And yeah, I love that, and I love you. So
it's just like, this is just such a great gift, because ultimately I do this for the pleasure of seeing people like being radiant and vibrant. And this is like what you're saying. It's such a great gift. Yeah.
Happy to hear that. Amazing. Yummy. Yummy, yummy, yumminess. So Julio, where can people find you? I know that if you Google Somatic Healing Amsterdam, can find you. Your studio is called... What's it called
healing
again?
Healing Art Studio.
Healing Art Studio in Amsterdam. So that's live. Can people sign up for your email list? Can they follow you online? Is there a website?
There's definitely all this information on my website.
Yes.
Which is juliadanna.com.
Yes.
And there you will have two sections, one on my artistic side and one on my healing art side.
Yeah.
And on the healing art page, people will find all the information about different modalities I do. They are only half listed because I feel like people get too confused when they.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way to contact me and stay in touch with me. So
perfect. Awesome. I will also add that to at the bottom of wherever you're watching this. So you'll be able to get that link. Just curious, people can also, if they wanted to, they could also book an online session with you, right?
Yes, I can offer two kind of modalities online. One is the integrative Gestalt coaching.
Yeah.
Which is like more, I coach people to get in touch with their somatic state and unfold. And often if they have a solution to find, like, or a decision to make, or they are in a period of transition, like a divorce, or it could be a great, great tool to untangle emotion and what is thinking and create clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, which can be also associated, is like breath work, somatic breath work that helps really unlock, so that it doesn't need to be all the time here in studio. I can coach people to use their breath to activate their body so that things can get really juicy into the release or what it needs to be released. Sometimes breath work can be really a gateway for release of emotions.
Nice. I love that. It makes me really excited to have a session with you again. Can't wait till I'm back in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Because I'm in the south right now. So yeah, for anyone I suggest obviously doing a session live if you are able to at all, and otherwise making use of Giulio's support online. And thank you so much for being here, Giulio. I had so much fun with you.
This was so much fun, yes.
Good. So you've just finished listening to a beautiful conversation between me and Giulio Danna, the awesome healing artist. I'm super curious how this conversation has been for you. What are some of the biggest insights that you got out of this? Are you going to start looking for a body-based therapist yourself? Are you recognizing some of these patterns? Do you feel inspired by the conversations of turning pain into love? I would love to hear from you. Feel free to leave a comment wherever you are listening to this podcast, and also rate this podcast if you're listening to it on Spotify or on iTunes. And yeah, I would really love to hear from you. Share your insights with me if you feel like it, and I'll see you next time. Oh, and if you love this content, make sure you are on my newsletter. I want you to go to leonigabriella.com and sign up for my newsletter, because you're also going to be getting a free, awesome guided meditation, my dream vision meditation that will help you manifest your dream life. It's really awesome. I get so many great reviews to this podcast. Meditation all the time. So go ahead and do that. And I hope I'll be seeing you there on my newsletter with more awesome content. So much love. Mwah.